Well, good morning. It's a joy and honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Our pastor is on the way back from Nashville. It has been a three-year-old birthday party weekend, is what we've been told. So he will be back next week, and I'm sure with a story or two, possibly of a rocket or a train or something that comes from grandkids that they love so dearly. They're traveling back today, and I'm sure they'd appreciate your prayers. If you have your Bible this morning, I encourage you to grab it right now and open it to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This past summer, I shared a message from Hebrews chapter 10 with you entitled, A Confident Pursuit. And we looked at Hebrews 10 and grasped this idea that you and I, every day of our life, can confidently pursue the presence of God. And how important it is for us as followers of Christ in our world today to do that, to daily understand our need for to be in the presence of God. We talked and I shared multiple quotes from a 17th century monk by the name of Brother Lawrence that uses the terminology of practicing the presence of God. Now, obviously, there's some important thought there when it comes to a monk, and one of the specific things is I don't believe that the importance of the isolation, but there is importance of the separation. Does that make sense? Our pastor spoke of that recently, of how important it is for you and I as followers of Jesus to be separate and to be different. And this morning, I want to follow right along with Hebrews chapter 10 and look at the very next verse in the text that we talked about this past summer and share a message with you entitled, A Confident Hope. A Confident Hope. And there's a key word in both of the titles of those messages, and it's the word confidence. You and I, on a daily basis, because of what God has done for us, can walk in great confidence in a world that is shaken, in a world that is uncertain, in a world that it's not clear of what's going to happen next. But we can hold tightly, and we'll talk about that this morning, to the great confidence that we have in Christ. And so this morning, as you hear me share the word hope, I would encourage you to think for just a moment. What comes to your mind when I say the word hope? What are some of the things in our world today that people put their hope in? And let's make that question personal now. What are some of the things in your life outside of Christ that you put your hope in? Maybe this morning when you think of hope, you think about your bank account and the hope that you have that it's going to continue to grow and give you what you need until the Lord calls you home. Maybe this morning the hope that you think about, your mind goes towards material things, the stuff that this world gives us. And I can relate directly to that because my wife will tell you I have more shoes than she does. I like things. And it's easy to let our things bring us hope. Maybe you're here this morning when you think of hope, you think of relationships and the hope that you have in another person or your family or things like that. Maybe you're here this morning and when I say hope, all you think about is you hope there's fried chicken for lunch. Or if it was me, fried okra. I hope there's some fried okra at lunch today. But in our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, we are looking at hope defined as a noun. Hope in Hebrews chapter 10 specifically, we will look at verse 23. We see the word hope and it's used in the noun form. And if you remember back to school in English class, we know that a noun is a person, a place, or a thing. So what we are coming around to this morning in our text is understanding that hope can be defined through the person of Jesus, through the place of the presence of God. and through the thing of the peace of God that's felt through the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you that one more time. If we can define hope in what we're going to talk about this morning, it is experienced through the person of Jesus. It's felt through the place of the presence of God. And it's daily filled in our life through the peace that is only felt through the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want you to search deeply into your heart and ask yourself this question. What gives me hope right now? What gives me hope right now? If you have your handouts, I encourage you to take notes with me. And I want to go ahead and give you the main idea, most important thought that I'll share with you today that helps us understand the whole idea of the message. There at the top of your handout, the main idea is this: the hope I have in Jesus will sustain me every day. The hope I have in Jesus will sustain me every day. The book of Hebrews is seen with multiple different characteristics, and one of the specific characteristics that we'll study and see this morning in chapter 10 is that it's a book of exhortation. The word exhortation can literally be defined as encouragement. And what we see in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning in the first 18 verses is the writer of Hebrews shares with us about the perfect sacrifice that came through Jesus. And then he gets to verses 19 and following, and he gives us three exhortations, or he gives us three encouragements to be obedient in because of what Jesus has done. And that's what we're going to look at together this morning. If you're physically able to, I invite you to stand as we read God's word, looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. It says this: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Then verse 23, this is what we'll focus on this morning. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Would you speak to us clearly this morning from your word? And God, as we hear from you, would you strengthen us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers, to be obedient to what it is that you're calling us to do. And this morning, as we think of hope, would you give us confidence to not only face tomorrow, but God, to face today. So Father, speak to our hearts this morning. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we think of our time together this morning, I want to share three thoughts to you from these verses, specifically verse 23, that we can grasp and understand deeper about the great hope that we have in Christ. And here's the first one there on your outline that I'll give you this morning. God gives me the choice to receive his hope. God gives me the choice to receive his hope. The audience in Hebrews chapter 10, in the context here, were being tempted to go back to the old covenant way of worship. They were being tempted to go back to the old way where they would experience God. And the writer of Hebrews is helping them understand that there is no need to go back because of what Jesus has done, and because of the power that was in Christ. But the reality is the same for you and I today. We are tempted to forsake the hope in Christ by turning to worship, the worship and the hope in something else. It's so easy for you and I to find ourselves at a place where we're putting our worship and our hope in something other than Jesus. And as we look at the text this morning, we see the writer here help us understand how can we daily experience the hope of Christ. Let's look at the passage together, starting again in verse 23. let us, that's the encouragement, the exhortation, let us hold on. Those two words, hold on, literally in the Greek language mean to grasp tightly. Now in South Alabama, we might say white knuckling it. You with me? Maybe that moment where you were up to bat and the ball looks more like a rice seed than a baseball because it's coming so fast and you're holding the bat as tight as you can, just hoping, one, the ball doesn't hit you, and two, maybe you can make contact. Or maybe it's the moment where you go tubing with your friends at the lake and they say they can throw you off the tube and you're saying, no, they can't throw me off the tube. That's the most dangerous words to say on the lake, on a tube. And you're holding on to that tube for dear life. Or maybe it's the moment that you are with your family and something's going on and you're just trying to hold tightly to your family, your kids, to keep them safe. The picture here that we see from the writer of Hebrews is that you and I should daily hold tight. Don't let it go. To what it says next, the confession of our hope. Now we know, let's look at that portion of scripture for a second, the confession of our hope. Now a lot of times we speak of confession as the confession of our faith. But the writer of Hebrews uses this word hope here to help us see this morning that we can possess deeply the confession that we speak of in verses 19 and following, that Jesus is who he says he is. And that Jesus has done what he says he's done. And Jesus is seated next to God in heaven right now. And that can be something beyond just our words. And it's very easy for us to speak that. We come to church each week and we speak that Jesus is who he says he is, that we believe that he's seated on the right hand of God. But when we leave this building and we are faced with every day, sometimes it's hard to hold tightly to what we confess. Sometimes the world throws things at us that are difficult. Sometimes the phone call is just not the call that we want to get. Sometimes the diagnosis is not what we want to hear. But the writer of Hebrews, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, is no matter what we face, you and I can hold tightly to the hope that's in Jesus. Then it says, without wavering, or maybe your Bible says unswervingly, to hold tight without wavering or unswervingly. And the picture there is to stand straight and not bend to the left or to the right. That we are going to be people that walk each day holding tight to the fact that Jesus is alive. And we're not going to bend to the left or to the right. We're going to stay constant because our God is constant. So let us this morning, we have a choice to receive this hope that only God can bring. We have this hope that comes through Jesus. I've said it like this before. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And again, what we find ourselves in throughout our life is that the world is just not easy. And as I thought about that terminology of holding on to something, I couldn't help but think about my personal life and how easy it is to hold on again to the things of the world. And when I'm holding on to the things of the world, I'm not allowing there to be room for who? For God. There's only so much room, if we can just look in our hands for a moment, to hold on to something. Unless you're a dad going to the beach. And for somehow, some way, you can hold on to everything. There's only so much room for us to hold something in our hands. And again, I find myself holding material things or relationships or status or struggles or whatever, and God's saying, you don't have to hold those things. All that I want you to hold is the hope that's in me. I found myself all throughout this week in preparation for today praying these words in my spirit. Jesus, you're my hope. Jesus, you're my hope. So my question is, what is in your hands that you're holding on to that is not the hope that we find in Christ? And if we're all honest in the room, we're holding on to some things. And listen to Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless and give me life in your ways. May it be our prayer to let go of what is worthless and find the life that comes through Christ and Christ alone. May you and I be people that go beyond just saying we believe in Jesus, but we're people that truly hold on to that and let a world see the hope of Christ in us, because it is something more than just we speak. It is something that we show. So this morning, you and I have a choice to receive the hope from Christ. My dad and I would go down to spring training baseball a couple times when I was growing up. And when we would go to watch spring training baseball, we would watch about the first three or four innings of the game. And if you know anything about spring training, at the first three or four innings of the game, that's normally when the starters play, the people that will be on the field for the Major League Baseball team that coming season. And as we would watch the game, we would watch them play, but then when those three or four innings were over, we would leave the stadium and go around behind the stadium to where the players would enter and exit the stadium to get autographs. And so most of the time we would do that, but every so often there would be a player that was a starter that was not playing for some reason, because he was hurt more than likely. And normally at that time, you could have a chance to get his autograph before the game. And as a little guy, my goal was to look around the field and see where the players were, to do everything I could to get those autographs. And my dad would have a box of baseballs and multiple Sharpies, and I would see the player. And I can remember going to my dad, and I said, there he is, there's so-and-so, I'm going to get his autograph. And dad would look at me and be like, no, you're not. There's no way. And I said, give me a baseball. And he'd give me a baseball and a Sharpie. And I'd go across the side of the field to all the way where the player was. And as a little guy, I would just wiggle my way through all the people, probably not saying excuse me, but I would get as close as I could to hold the baseball and the Sharpie out in front of the player in hopes that he would autograph the baseball. And I could think of two specific scenarios where some of my baseball heroes as a little guy, I got their autographs. And here's what would happen. When I would get their autograph, I would turn, and first off, you know, you could see it on me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just got his autograph. And I would go back to where my dad was, and I would have that baseball gripped as tight as I could grip it, because I didn't want anything to happen to that ball. And there were always two ways my dad knew if I got the autograph or not. The first is he could see it on my face. And secondly, I'd come back holding that baseball about like this compared to maybe tossing it up and down. Because I got what I went after. And in that moment, I didn't want to let go of it. My question for us this morning, are we not holding on to the hope of Christ because we haven't gotten it? Or we're not receiving it? And once we get it, my challenge for you is to grasp it and hold it tightly and try through the power of God to say, God, help me not to let go. Jesus, you're my hope. So point one, God gives me the choice to receive his hope. The second point, and I love this in the study of this passage this week, and I hope it can be very practical to you. God, number two, God gives me a personal hope. God gives me a personal hope. We skipped over this just a few moments ago as we looked at verse 23. It says to let us hold on to the confession of our hope. Now, the structure there of the Greek language with the possessive pronoun our brings this idea that the hope that we have in Jesus is personal for you and I individually, and it can be, again, possessed. Now, you and I know that there is general hope for all believers. Amen, right? If anybody should have hope in our world today, it's the followers of Christ. Because of what we've already said, Jesus is seated on the throne. But I also want you to be mindful today that not only is there a general hope for all believers, there is a personal hope for you. Your circumstance and your situation and your difficulty is not out of the reach of the hope of God. Hebrews 4, I just want to read this passage. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, help us understand more about the personal hope that we have in Christ. It says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The word sympathize there in Hebrews chapter 4 literally means to have sympathy based on common experience. So the common things that you and I are experiencing, Jesus sympathizes with that and gives us the help that we need. It's a personal thing. Again, yes, generally, we know Jesus is one and we know that, but I want to encourage you this morning that right now where you are, God says, I have a personal hope, a personal word, a personal direction for your life. The thought behind this, as I thought about it preparing for this, is this. A lot of times you and I look for hope and we see hope for tomorrow. We know that. John 10 tells us that we have hope for eternity. That Jesus made a way for us to live eternal with God in heaven for those that accept Christ and follow him as their Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you to hold on to that. You have hope for tomorrow. But I also want to encourage you this morning to be mindful that you also have hope for today. You have hope for every circumstance that you're going through today. And I, listen closely to this, I do not stand here today saying that I understand what you're going through. If you're in this room, you're watching online or listening, I do not understand everything that you're going through. But Hebrews 4 right there tells us there is someone that does understand everything you're going through. And that's Jesus. And he will personally, as you choose his hope over the things of the world, will give you the confidence to stand in a world that's shaken. He'll give you the confidence to take the next step, to do what it is that he is calling you to do. Listen to some of these specific personal hopes that I believe the scripture shows us that we can have. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says this, but for those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You and I can personally have hope for strength each day. Micah 7 7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. We have hope that God will hear us. Jeremiah 29, 11, a verse we all have heard many times. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We have a hope for purpose. And then listen to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen closely to this thought. You and I personally have a hope that continues. It's a living hope that God has given us through Christ. It's not just a one-day thing, a one-time thing. It's a constant hope to experience your life in your life every moment and every day. So I want you to think for just a moment, and I'm not excited to say these things and bring this up, but I want you just to practically think for a moment, what is one of the most difficult things you're facing right now? Again, it's not something, oh yeah, this is exciting, what I don't want to think about on Sunday morning. Think about it. Again, maybe it's a relational struggle. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's some uncertainty. What's the most difficult situation that you find yourself in right now? Be mindful today that God meets you right where you are with a personal hope from Jesus. And he understands what you're going through. And you and I can choose that hope from him and walk confidently through that difficulty and be obedient to what he's calling us to do. I found myself a couple weeks ago spending time with someone that is dear to me, and just recently in some circumstances with this person, they received some news that just wasn't what they wanted to hear. And I thought we were going to go and just enjoy some fellowship together, and it turned into some conversation that it was just not easy to know what to say. Have you ever been in a situation like that where someone's talking to you and sharing something, and maybe they break down on you or something like that, and you're just sitting there and you're like, I don't know what to say right here. I don't know what to do. It was one of those situations for me, and I just found myself listening, and which I encourage you, that's probably the best thing we can do, not try to give them some word that makes them feel better. Just listen to the person. And I was just listening, and he went on and on and on and shared and about this conversation and about this difficulty, this news that they received. And then he said this, but Chase, what the doctor says, what the results show, we believe don't stand to what God can do and the hope that we have in Christ. And he said, everything around me looks uncertain, but I know that Jesus is my hope. And I was so challenged in that moment personally, and also thankful that he was able to say that. And I want to encourage you today to remember that right now, right where you are, you can experience that personal hope that comes through Christ. So this morning, you and I have a choice. Are we choosing to receive the hope that comes from Christ or the hope that's in the world? And number two, God will give you and I a personal hope, meet you right where you are, not only again to give you hope for tomorrow, but to give you hope for today. Then thirdly, this morning, I want to encourage you, and I love this part of the passage with this thought, God will be faithful to fulfill his hope. The hope we find in the world will not sustain us. The hope that we find in material things will fade. The hope that we find in our money will be gone one day. The hope that we find in relationships will turn, the backs will be turned on us. But the hope that you and I find in Christ, we know that God is faithful to fulfill that hope. Look back at verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, then here it is. Since he, speaking of God, who promised, the word promise there literally means the one that can be held tightly to. Again, going back to hold on. He who promised is faithful. The word faithful there breathes this picture of assurance that you and I can know if God or when God gives us a word, or when God says something, or when we feel his hope, he has promised to be faithful to fulfill that hope. Nothing that we face, nothing that we do can pull that hope from us. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3. Happy is the one who is considerate of the poor. The Lord will save him in a day of adversity. The Lord will keep him and preserve him. He will be blessed in the land. You will not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. You will heal him on the bed where he lies. The hope again of the world is fading, but the hope in God is constant and will come to all of those that grab on to it. Listen to this of what one commentator said about Hebrews 10, verse 23. When a believer has his hope fixed on Christ and relies on the faithfulness of God, then he will not waver. Instead of looking back, as the Jews so often did, we should look ahead to the coming of the Lord. This morning, the question for us is this, is can you and I stand confidently hopeful in what Jesus has done? And we know the answer to that is yes, because God is faithful. There are days when it's going to seem as if the answer to that is no or uncertain. And on those days, we have to go back to point number one and say, God, when it doesn't make sense to me or I'm not feeling it, you with me? Not feeling it. Help me today to know you're faithful and choose your hope versus the uncertainty of this world. So this morning, as we walk through this passage, I hope that we see again that the hope I have in Jesus will sustain me every day. We have this choice. We have this personal hope, and God will be faithful to fulfill what he said he would do. I want to close this morning by giving us three thoughts of application that I hope can help posture your life to daily allow the hope of Christ to be felt versus the hope that's in the world. And these three things that I'm about to share with you, if you were here in July of this past summer, are the same three things I gave to us to posture ourselves to experience the presence of God, because I think it goes hand in hand, right? We said earlier that the place of hope that we find from God is in his presence. And so in Hebrews 10, early on, it basically says there, it talks about how if we know something that we're supposed to do and we don't do it, then obviously that's sin. And if we keep on sinning, then it says that what good is the sacrifice of Jesus? And so this morning, as we close an application, our hope that our heart can be, we don't want to just listen to what was said today, but we want to be people that move forward and walk confidently in the hope that comes from Christ. Eugene Peterson said this, hope does not mean doing nothing. Listen closely to this. Hope does not mean doing nothing. Hope means going about our assigned task confident that God will provide the meaning and the conclusions. It's about going through every day and what God's put in front of us, confident that God will provide the meaning and the conclusions. So three thoughts of application to posture ourselves this week, today, tomorrow, to experience the hope that's in Christ. The first one there on your handout under application is slow down. Psalm 27, verses 13 through 14, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. We live in a fast-paced, busy world where our schedules dominate the focus of our life. And I believe sometimes, and I see it and in my own life, that it's easy to let my focus be so caught up on what I'm doing or what's going on around me in the busyness of life that I miss out on focusing on what Jesus has done. And so my encouragement for us to be people of great confidence and have this great confidence of hope is to be people that daily slow down. Who determines your schedule? Well, some of you are like, well, Chase, you don't know my boss, and I don't. Most of you know mine, though, all right? So y'all can... For the most part, I know that your day is dictated by a schedule of some sort, but there are moments that you can pick and choose the things that you do in your life and the things that you're caught up in. And we find ourselves so fast-paced, going from one thing to the next again, that our focus turns from what God has done, and we're more focused on what we are doing. I read this quote to you this past summer, but I think it's very powerful, and I think it's important for us to hear again today. It's a quote from John Mark Comer, and he wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and he said this: ultimately, nothing in this life apart from God can satisfy our desires. Tragically, we continue to chase after our desires. The result? A chronic state of restlessness, or worse, angst, anger, anxiety, disillusionment, depression, all of which lead to a life of hurry, a life of busyness, overload, shopping, materialism, careerism, a life of more, which in turn makes us even more restless, and the cycle spirals out of control. Listen closely. Here's my point. The solution to an overbusy life is not more time. It's to slow down and simplify our lives around what really matters. So the encouragement as you and I apply this thought of hope is to slow down. The second point of application I encourage you with is to stop distractions. So slow down your life and then stop distractions. Romans 12:1-2, I encourage you to let these verses be your prayer. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect, the perfect will of God. I received a text message with this quote from G. Campbell Morgan recently that said this: when the church was the least like the world, the church did the most for the world. So to be people of hope, it's got to be where we make some hard decisions to put away some distractions, to say no to some good stuff potentially, to make sure we're putting ourselves in a place to experience what's great, and that's through Christ. So slow down, stop distractions. Then thirdly and lastly, seek diligently. Seek diligently. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this: therefore, since we have such a loud and crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May it be said that you and I are people that seek diligently. We lay aside the sin that hinders us, and we turn our eyes and we turn our gaze to focus and just desperation for Jesus and Jesus alone. Billy Graham said this: our world today so desperately hungers for hope, yet uncounted people have almost given up. There is despair and hopelessness on every hand. Let us be faithful in proclaiming the hope that is in Christ. So this morning, back to the ball for a second. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that is giving, that you're holding on to give you hope today? Is it the things of the world, or is it truly the hope that comes only from Jesus? And be mindful that the hope that comes from Christ is not just the hope for tomorrow, but it's the hope for today, right now, where you are. In the 1800s, the hymn writer by the name of Edward Motes found himself penning a new hymn for what he would hope to be a hymn that would encourage followers of Christ to walk every day with Christ, worship him, and honor him with their life. He found himself on his Sabbath on a Saturday, penning some words by the fireplace that he would hope be those words. And then the very next Sunday, he found himself, as the story goes, visiting a fellow church member whose wife was very ill. And the husband of that church member, of the wife that was very ill, shared with Mote that it was their custom on the Lord's Day to sing a hymn, read the Bible, and pray together. So being that Mote, Edward Mote, had penned this new hymn the very day before, he pulled the hymn, the words out of his pocket, and he sang these words for the very first time. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The hope you and I have in Jesus will sustain us every day. Will you bow your head and close your eyes and let's pray together this morning? As we close our time together, we'll do it just like we do every week in a time of invitation, in a time of you responding to what it is that God is leading you to in your life. And first and foremost this morning, you may be here in the room or watching online or listening on the radio, and you're at a place where you would say, Chase, I have no hope. And the reason you have no hope is because you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have that confession to hold on to. And if you're here this morning, the Bible says that all of us are sinners and we've been separated from God, but thanks be to God, He made a way. And He sent Jesus to die on a cross, to go into a tomb, to be made alive today and seated at His right hand. And the Bible says if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart He is who He says He is, we will be saved. So in just a few moments as we sing, if you're here and you need to make that decision to experience that ultimate hope, I want to encourage you to come down front, share that with myself or another staff member, and we'd love to help you make that decision. Maybe you're here as we're processing what it is that God is calling us to do this morning, and you need a church family. The next portion of Hebrews chapter 10 here tells us to not neglect meeting together. And one of the greatest ways to be followers of Christ and be encouraged in hope is be a part of a church family. And so maybe this morning you're here and you need to come down and share with myself or someone else that you feel God calling you to make a decision to make Ridgecrest your home. Maybe you need to be baptized or you want someone to pray with you about something that's going on in your life. I encourage you, whatever the Lord's calling, the decision the Lord's calling you to make, to come this morning to the altar and be obedient to that. Then lastly, if we're honest in the room, all of us have circumstances and situations that are going on in our lives. And maybe you need to come to the altar this morning and bend a knee as our pastor talks about and just pray the prayer that I prayed earlier. You don't know the answer, you don't know why, you don't know what's next, but just say this to God, Jesus, you're my hope. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and feel the confidence and the hope that's personal to you through Christ. So I'm going to pray for us, and as I pray, I want to encourage you to be obedient after I say amen to what it is that God is calling us to. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and again, after that moment, and I say amen, you come and be obedient to what it is that God's calling you to do. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. May we never take for granted the importance of your word and the power that's in us, in it for our personal lives. This morning, God, I pray for all of us across the room, whatever it is that you're calling us to, may we not run from it. God, would you strengthen us to say yes? Would you help us, God, to do whatever it is, whether it's to follow you, to join this church, to be obedient? God, would you lead us in that and guide us in that decision? Father, I pray for the person in this room that right now feels as if there's no hope. May that person respond today and say those words to you. Jesus, you're my hope. May they feel the personal hope that you have for their life. So, Father, you move and have your way during this time of invitation. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, I'm so glad that you have tuned in to the broadcast today. I hope you've been encouraged by God's word. Sure, it's been a joy to share it with you. And even now, people at Ridgecrest are making decisions for Christ. Perhaps as you've watched this broadcast, you've recognized the need for your own decision for Christ. The prompting of the Spirit has caused you to recognize that you need Christ as your Savior. And the good news is you can receive Him right where you are. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right where you are, you can call on Him. Say something like this from your heart to Him. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you came into this world and died on the cross for my sins. And right now, I invite you to come into my life, forgive me, and be my Savior. I can assure you, if you call on Him, based on what God has already told us in the Bible, that He'll hear that prayer and He'll answer that. And He wants to begin this new journey in your life with you, transforming you into His image. We'd love to help you with that decision as well. You'll see a QR code on your screen. And if you would scan that, or you'll see contact information, or if you'll contact us about your decision today, we'd love to help you take next steps. There are no strings attached, no fees involved. We'd just like to help you begin that journey with Christ. You may be watching this broadcast today and say, I need a church family to belong to. I already know Christ as my Savior, and I'd like to be a part of the Ridgecrest family. Also, if you will, scan that QR code. That'll take you to a location, and we'll be able to help you make those kinds of decisions, like becoming a member here, or if you've never been scripturally baptized, those kinds of things. So contact us through that QR code or through the contact information on the screen. Well, again, it's been a joy to have you with us today, and I hope you've been encouraged by God's word. Whatever decision we can help you with, by all means, contact us. May the Lord bless you.